I've called this short reflection, A Very Ordinary Christmas. See, Christmas is usually very special, but this Christmas seems to be very ordinary. We're trying to make the most of it, but it's not the same. Perhaps you're used to having all the family together, and now you can't, particularly after what was announced yesterday evening. Maybe that, like for us, has changed all your plans. So some of you, like us, will be spending Christmas Day alone, and that isn't how it usually is. You probably haven't been to all the Christmassy things that you usually do at this time of year. We usually start Christmas at a friend's church where she organises a festival of Christmas trees. And on the opening night, there's a carol concert. But of course, none of that this year. You may be used to going round the shops. And this year, you've had to do it all online with deliveries and Amazon parcels and so on. It's not the same. We try and make the best of it, but it feels very ordinary. I wonder whether we've got into the habit of hyping Christmas up a bit too much. You see, we like the supernatural and the magical bits of the Christmas story. We love it when the angel comes to see Mary. We get excited by the angels in the sky singing the Hallelujah chorus to a bunch of shepherds. And then there's the star in the sky that alerted the interest of those wise men. We go crazy over the star. We think it was over Bethlehem a long time before it was. It plays a big part when we retell the story. We love to dress children up, either as angels or as stars. I wonder whether maybe we big the star up just a tad too much. Because, you see, the reality is that the Christmas story was very, very ordinary. Most of it wasn't about miracles and supernatural stuff. It was about a young woman and her first pregnancy. Did she have morning sickness? We don't know. What physical difficulties did she suffer? What abuse did she suffer from those who didn't know the origin of her child? And then she had to travel 90 miles to Nazareth, to Bethlehem, I mean. How far can a 9 or 8 or 9 month woman who's pregnant, how far can they walk at that stage? See, we like to have a donkey in our Christmas story. Maybe there was, but there's no mention of the donkey in the Bible. And even riding a donkey at 36 weeks could have been very uncomfortable. There was no miraculous angelic transport to help. It was hard going. It was tough. It was sweaty. It was exhausting. It probably sucked all the energy out of you. And then when you got to Bethlehem, there was no room. What does that feel like? How much did Joseph panic? You know, I remember once with our family, we were on holiday and we hadn't booked our stay for that night. And we assumed it would be easy to find a motel or somewhere. And we went from place to place and it said full, no vacancies. And you begin to panic. Where are we going to spend the night? What must it be like if you have your wife with you who's expecting a child any day? And then giving birth in a rough wooden eating trough. Would any mother plan that? I wonder if Jesus arrived earlier than they expected. And giving birth can be painful, excruciating. We don't think of that. Had Joseph ever delivered a baby before? I doubt it. He couldn't get advice down the phone. There were no paramedics on the way. Just the two of them, young couple, doing their best, working it out as you go along. It was tough. It was hard. It was not a miraculous birth. The miracle was the conception. The rest was hard work. A very human birth in a dirty, unhygienic place. No angels to disinfect the floor. No seraphim to deal with the afterbirth. No cherubim to scrub the soiled swaddling clothes. It was ordinary. It was dirty. It was messy. It was difficult. It was hard. Apart from a few rough shepherds, it was lonely. The family were miles away. Normally, mum or mum-in-law are at hand to help, but they were not available. They were too far away. And that says nothing about the tiredness and the sleepless nights. But you see, we don't like to think about that stuff. We prefer to concentrate on Gabriel and angelic choirs and stars that actually only occupy a small part of the story. The rest is ordinary, is human, the normal stuff of everyday life. The events we celebrate are more ordinary than extraordinary. And why do I say that? Well, I say it because we're celebrating a very ordinary Christmas this year. And we need to be reminded, I need to be reminded, that the God who came into this world is the God who enters dirty, messy, mucky, ordinary life. Now, if you were coming to a carol service in person, some of you, some of us would dress up. We'd look a bit smarter. If you're at home, well, people can't see you, you can wear anything you like. You might be wearing your pajamas. And if you're taking part, well, you can wear a shirt and tie, but you haven't seen the scruffy jeans underneath, have you? But even when we dress up and look great on the outside, inside we can be a mess. And there are things that have dragged us down this year. There are doubts where once there used to be certainty. There are bits of life we're not pleased of. There are things we don't seem to be able to sort out, no matter how hard we try. We can turn over a new leaf and start again, but that doesn't change everything. So how can God come to me when I'm in a mess, when I'm such a mixture? Well, the good news of Christmas is that God is used to mess. He came into a far bigger mess than you or I will ever be. He's not turned off by your mess. This Christmas, as every Christmas, as God comes into our world, he enters our problems, our sin, our insecurity, our failure, and our fears. You see, he's not only the God of miraculous angels and mysterious stars. He's the God of the everyday, the God of the mundane, the God of the ordinary, who comes into our world with our problems, our difficulties, our sadness. He's the God of the up-in-the-air Christmas, the God of the anxious Christmas, the God of the I-didn't-plan-it-this-way Christmas, the God of the who-knows-what's-going-to-happen Christmas. He's the God of the this-hasn't-gone-to-plan Christmas. And that's your Christmas, that's my Christmas. That's your life, that's mine. As God comes into the world in Jesus, he comes to you. As he entered into the world, he wants to enter into your life. He wants to partner with you. He wants to work with you. He wants to be part of you. Despite the mess, that's not a problem. And so we invite him once more to be born in us today. Let's share together in a prayer, shall we? Our Father God, we thank you that Jesus came into the mess of this world. And we thank you, Lord, for all that was ordinary about that birth and that Christmas scene. And we thank you, Lord, that you come into our ordinary lives. We thank you that you come into our messy lives. We thank you that you come into our disappointed lives. We thank you that you come to us when we're not feeling great and wonderful and fantastic, but when we're low and when we're down and when we're uncertain. Thank you, Lord God, that at those times you come to us, at those times you're close to us, at those times you're near to us. So be near to us this Christmas, we pray. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.